are thankful to see each one here this evening. We're going to begin in the book of Proverbs tonight. We have a lot of scriptures, and I know I could have turned to a lot more and might even during the service kind of condense things down as best we can. But there's a lot of scriptures on this subject, and yet it's something that's left off a lot in our day and time. And the subject is going to be the company that we keep. Now, when we think about sin, a lot of people don't think about the company that we keep. But you can sin by keeping the wrong company. And I'll even say this, you show me a man's friends and I'll show you a man's character. And 99 times out of 100, if not more so than that, that's the way it is. Because people like to hang around like-minded people. You know, sometimes people make the statement our day and time, why don't you hang around more of these people? Why don't you hang around? Who wants to? Who hangs around people that they don't, you know, have agreements with, that they don't have fellow goals and kind of the same ambitions? If you get around musicians, who do musicians usually hang around? Other musicians. If you were to get around people that like to read books and like to dig maybe into old books and things of this nature, who do they like to hang around? People who also like to get into old books. People that like history like to be around people that like history and so forth and so on. And you get more into that, and there's cultural things that you get into. People like to be around others that like the same music they like, that have some of the same beliefs. And a lot of times our separations, even when a lot of people, you know, kind of look at race things and a lot of other things, a lot of it's just cultural. You like to be around people who believe like you do. And I mean, I could get into religious people. How many Catholics are friends with a whole lot of other Catholics? How many Pentecostals do they hang around other Pentecostals? That's just the way it is. And so we do need to be careful of the company we keep, because we're going to create habits, and who you hang around will rub off on you. Oh, no, I'm stronger than that. There's a whole lot of history that would prove you wrong. A whole lot of history. And no doubt we could all amen that of ourselves, those of us that have had those experiences in life. What you hang around has a lot to do with how you behave and act. And so the Bible deals with that a great deal. And we're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 1. But before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the message. Father, you know the need of it better than we do. And Father, we pray that everything that is said and done will be according to your will accomplish your will. And Father, that even those of us that are saved, that we could be strengthened by it, and even those that are lost, that they could see the need to be around godly people, that it would have an influence on their life. Father, we ask for all these blessings, and we ask it in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 10. It says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Now we're going to stop reading there in verse 19. And you look at this, and I'll really look at it from this perspective in our day and time. This would relate a lot to gang activity. I mean, you got a group of people that are going out to harm somebody else to take their money for them. This is crooks. It's what it is. You know, there's some company you just don't need to keep. There's some people you just don't need to hang around. And the father's giving his son some instruction. Son, don't go with them. Don't you go that way. If they entice thee, don't you do it. I tell you, I'd love to preach that message to a whole lot of young people in our day and time. To share with them, you don't go that way. Oh, it looks profitable. It looks like we're going to get gain. We're all going to put in this together and split the purse. Split the spoil, so to speak. Yeah, but there's a whole lot more grief that you're getting that you don't even understand yet. You don't want that. You don't want to be somebody seeking to harm another human being. You don't want to be in that group. There's some people you just need to avoid and stay away from. Moving on in the Scriptures, turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 13 of Proverbs chapter 4. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. And notice kind of the warning there that you find here. Don't even go near that. Don't be a part of that. And I will tell you this about sin. The more time you spend with sin, the more it makes sense to you. If you hang around evil people before too long, you're justifying your actions the same way that they do. They can justify all their wrongdoing, all their wickedness. They can in their own mind. Everybody's wise in their own conceits. Everybody's wise in their own mind. And the Father's saying, you don't need to hang around that. That'll have a bad influence on you. That'll hurt you in a lot of ways. You don't even need to pass by that. There's a lot of people that think that they can play with sin, so to speak, take fire into their bosom and not get burned. You can't. You cannot do it. You cannot walk with people like this and it not have an impact on you. And I will tell you this also, if you were to look up the laws, you don't even have to commit a crime to be charged with a crime. Do you know that? And I will tell you, and I try to instruct young people, and I try to encourage parents, teach your children the laws. You need to know them. And I can tell you some things that have happened in my life, and I'll try to run through very quickly a few examples. I had an instance happen. I asked my mom and dad. They were going to be out of town. I think I was 18, maybe 19 years old. And I asked my mom, I said, look, I want to invite Stevie and Jay and some of my friends over. And we're going to hang out tonight. Is that all right? I know y'all not at the house, but, you know, I'm 18. I've kind of shown myself to be trustworthy. Can I invite a few friends over that y'all know? And we're just going to hang out and have some time together. Well, that seemed like a good thing. That's how the night started off. All of a sudden, evidently, some word got around to some people that Mom and Daddy wasn't home, and there was a few people I didn't invite that were showing up. And they were bringing things with them, including alcohol. And, of course, my statement was, y'all get. Now, they got pulled over by the law not far from the house. They told them where they had come from. All of a sudden, the house and the whole property was being searched. I was like, look, y'all not going to find alcohol here. We didn't have it. I told them people to go. Do you know what they told me? They said, if those people would have had a wreck while drinking, you know you're responsible for them. I said, I didn't even want them over here. Now I'm responsible for them. But that's the way their law's written. If they would have left my house intoxicated and gotten a wreck, I would have been accountable for it. More or less, my parents would have. When you don't know the law, you can get into trouble quick. You know, my dad gave me something. Most of us here will understand what I'm talking about. But my dad gave me a quarter years ago to keep in my wallet. He said, son, here's a quarter, never spend it unless you have to. Y'all all know what the quarter was for, don't you? This is before cell phones. Back when there was pay phones different places. And Dad told me, he said, son, if you never need me, he said, you call me. He said, I won't even ask questions. I'll pick you up, bring you back home. He said, but you call me. You don't be in a bad situation. You call me, I won't ask any questions. I'll just pick you up. I had to use that quarter one time. One time. And I'll tell you why. Dad won't remember who I was with that night anyway, and I'm not going to mention their names. But I was with some friends. Let me tell you what happened. One of my friends pulled out a bag of some substance. And as soon as I saw it, I said, now y'all need to let me out of the vehicle. Now we were in the middle of nowhere. And when I say nowhere, I'm talking about Leaf River Management Area nowhere. 40,000 acres, nothing nearby. I said, y'all need to drop me off at a corner somewhere real quick. They said, oh, you're not serious. I said, I'm serious as I can be. What happens if you get pulled over even if you don't have drugs on you but drugs in the vehicle? You get charged. I knew that. I said, that's not me. I said, I'm not being involved in this. I said, y'all just let me out. And I got to a pay phone and I called my daddy. He picked me up and he did just like he said. And probably when I got home and Mama asked some questions, I'm pretty sure that Dad said, this is a deal between me and Brandon. You don't ask him any questions. I've made an agreement with him. But I knew this, to get out of that vehicle, I didn't need to be there. You can get put into some bad situations if you're not careful. Even being around people you think that would look out for your best interest, some won't. And I'll tell you this, y'all ever heard that statement, oh, I was at the wrong place at the wrong time? Do you know there's one of those things you can get out of the equation? You can not be at the wrong place. If you remove the wrong place, you don't have to worry about the time. And so I'll go ahead and tell you this. You don't need to be at the bars. You don't need to be at places where fights are going to break out and all these other things. You remove the bad places, you remove the chances of trouble. And a lot of that has to do with who you're hanging out with, who your friends are. He goes on and into chapter 5. This is going to be a little different subject here, but still on the same subject we're on about the company we keep. He says here, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to mine understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ears to them that instructed me. Now, I could preach this both to girls and boys on this side, you better be careful what you're looking for in life. If lust is what you're looking for, it's all around. It's not difficult to find. It's everywhere you look. If there was a boy that's looking for a girl that, as the old saying would go, she's easy, those are a dime a dozen now. They're everywhere in the world. You know, I was kind of shocked years ago when I started dating Susan. I couldn't hardly get a date before I dated Susan, it didn't seem like. But once I started dating her and a few girls saw how I treated her, they were enticing me to leave her for them. And I'll be honest, I had nothing for those girls because I thought, if you think I'll leave my girl for you, what makes you think I wouldn't leave you for somebody else? You start down that path, you're on a bad path. But there's girls always going to come around. And notice how he words this. He said, "For the lips of the strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil. Ooh, she looks good." And I'll tell you what, for the women, there's a whole lot of good-looking men out there too, aren't they? But some are rottenness to the bones, aren't they? You need to be careful what you hang around. Y'all ever seen men get themselves in trouble with a woman? A woman brings them down? Y'all ever seen a man bring a woman down? There's some people that they've gone out and dated some people and you're like, why in the world would you go with that person? Because you can see their character. And when the character's not good, trouble's coming. Trouble's coming. But there's a lot of people that fall for that lust of the eyes, don't they? And it causes them great harm. Sometimes there's a young girl, and oh, this boy's coming, oh, he's giving me attention. What kind of attention? What's he looking for? What's he really there for? If you're being true to God and upholding good morals, you'll find out pretty soon if he's there for the right reason or not. But there's been a lot of people brought low through the lust of the eyes. Oh, this looks so good. They say everything I want to hear. Better be careful with that company you keep, or it will tear you down. Moving on over in the Scriptures, let's go over to chapter 12. And I'm going to turn outside the book of Proverbs, but there's several good things in Proverbs. Proverbs 12, verse 26. Says here, "The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them." Notice that. There's people that have come up to you and say, "Man, I know how you can make a little extra money." The way of the wicked seduce them. See, a lot of times we don't see the value of being righteous and holy and having a good name and all this. And somebody will come away and say, "Man, you don't know what you're missing." They'll do that with drugs. They'll do that with alcohol. They'll do that with lust. They'll do that with money. They'll do it with a whole lot of things. They'll come to you saying, "You don't know. This is easy money. This is an easy life. This is pleasure right here for you. Oh, you're missing out." If we're not on guard, we can be seduced by the wicked. And that's why we need to be very careful of what we let go into our ears. And I'll say this. Let me say this. Keeping company with wickedness is not just about who we're friends with or who we hang out with. It's also the radio stations you turn to, the music you listen to, the books that you read. There's a lot of women that have picked up some books over the years, and because they read something in a book, "Well, my husband's supposed to be this, and I want him to be like this person in this book, and I want him to be this," and men doing kind of the same thing. And they'll leave because they say, "Well, I'm not getting out of this what I think I deserve." They lust for things that's not good, not right. They're seduced. And some people think the only way you can be seduced is by some woman standing in front of you, or some man standing in front of you, or some con artist or something else. But look, you can be seduced by music. You can be seduced by movies, a book, whatever. You need to be careful what you allow into your mind. There's people that have listened to things in music before and they say, man, that sounds like a good time. I'd like to have it. A seed's planted and it's watered. You know, you can plant good seeds or you can plant evil seeds. You need to be careful the seeds you allow to be planted in your heart. Because the wicked will seduce you into something that's not good. You turn on over, chapter 13, verse 20. It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And you might want to underline that one or circle it because it is the gist of everything we're going to cover tonight. Notice it is the company you keep that makes a difference. If you walk with wise people, what's usually going to happen to you? You're going to listen to the wise words. You're going to grow from it. Iron sharpeneth iron. And it'll make a difference in your life. But if you hang around fools, what's going to be your conduct? What's going to be your thought process? It's going to be evil. It's going to be foolish thinking. Turn on over into chapter 21. Not chapter 21, excuse me, chapter 22. Chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Lest thou learn his ways, and get a snare to thy soul. If you hang around with angry, bitter people, guess what you will be? You will be angry and bitter. You hang around depressed people, guess what you're going to be? Depressed. You hang around godly people, guess what you'll be? You'll become more godly. We need to be very careful with the company that we keep. Over in chapter 24, beginning in verse 1, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding is it established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. There's a difference between the two. The envious studieth destruction. The wise build up. Whoever we're around, whatever our heart is focused on, whoever our company is going to make a difference. In this same chapter, in verses 21 through 25, it says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. We hear that a lot in our day and time, don't we? We've heard it a lot over the past probably 20 plus years. We need change. We need change. We need change. There are times that things need to be changed. If we're in sin, we need to repent. We need to change. But there's a lot of people who just won't change for no other reason than they just won't change. And he says, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. How do we want to judge people today? How is the world judging people today? They judge you by how much money you have or don't have. They judge you by your skin color. They judge you by who you're married to or what likes you have and don't. Look, they change the judgments for everybody. We don't have an equal justice system anymore that looks blindly on things. And the reason is because we've let wickedness be taught and be accepted. And there's many people that say that they're saved that have gone along with some of this stuff. And they have perverted judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him, but to them that rebuke him shall be delight. and a good blessing shall come upon them. What, it's good to rebuke? When they're sin, it is good to rebuke sin. You know that we're called in this world to bring to light what is good and what is evil. That's what the church is for. When you're talking about being a light of the world, what are you doing? You're shining light on that which is good and saying, this is what you want to press toward. This is good. This is holy. This is acceptable. You're also wanting to shine light on that which is wrong and say, this is not what you desire. This is not what you want. This is not the path you want to go down. And we are called as the children of God to do that, to make righteous judgment. Proverbs 27, verse 17. We've already referred to this once, but I want you to know where it's at in the Scripture. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. When you have good people in your life, man, it makes a world of difference. The right people in your life will help you to be a better person. And that goes to the right spouse. That goes to the right friends. It goes to the right church. The right doctrines. You get the right things in your life, and certainly first and foremost, you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling within you that will war against the spirit of your flesh. It sharpens you. It makes you better. That's what it's there for. Going on over, chapter 28, verse 4. He said, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Notice that part. Those that keep the law contend with the wicked. We're not friends of the wicked. We contend with the wicked. Wait a minute. Jesus ate with sinners. Show me where He ever upheld any of their sins. He never upheld their sin. He called them to repentance. He was glad for anybody to repent and turn to the truth. He wanted that. He desired that no matter what path they had gone down. But He even told the Pharisees and scribes their need of repentance. He contended with them. That doesn't mean He had long arguments with them. He just stood up for the truth. Now over in chapter 29, verse 3. It says here, whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. That's a waste of a life, isn't it? Y'all seen people that have wasted their lives with the company they keep? I'll tell you this, you don't want to be friends with gamblers because you're going to be broke. You will. You got friends that say, come on down to the casinos with us. Come on over here and buy some lottery tickets with us. Let me tell you this, you're going to have a hard time paying your grocery bills when you hang around people like that. And I'll even say this, I've known people who have lost their homes, lost their lands, lost their jobs, lost their vehicle, and even lost their marriages because of gambling. You need to be careful with the company you keep. It can rob you. Oh, we're going to party and live it up. We're going to have a good time. Yeah, there's a lot of people that have gone down the road of destruction with that. Need to be careful with the company you keep. Let's look at some other places in Scripture hurriedly. Back in Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 23. In verse 33, that's the last verse of the chapter. It says, they shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. God telling the nation of Israel when they come into the promised land, He said, y'all don't need to let these sinners that serve other gods stay in the land with you. Why? They're going to lead you into a false way. that'll take you away from the Lord. It'll be a snare unto you. That's a trap. It's what a snare is a trap. It's going to be a trap to you. You turn on over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. And for sake of time, we'll just read verses 3 and 4. And here again, talking about the people of the land, the people that surrounded them in the other lands that were around about them, their neighbors, so to speak. He said, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Oh, preacher, I can handle it. It won't bother me at all. Let me ask this question. Who's the wisest man that's ever lived? Solomon, correct? What destroyed Solomon? It was marrying those foreign women, wasn't it? That's what destroyed him. They got him, oh, you got to let me serve my gods. You got to let me keep my traditions. I guess I'll give in. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 lets us know that what happens in a person's relationship. What's the desire of a wife? To please her husband. What's the desire of a husband? To please his wife. What happens when you're unequally yoked? And we'll read that in just a moment. But what happens when you yoke up with people that's not of the same faith, that doesn't have the same belief, that even serves false gods? Some people say, oh, you know, I'm very careful in who I'm going to marry. Look, we got a whole lot of marrying today. And I know that some people will deal with the interracial factor. Look, I'll be honest with you. The race of a person is not my concern. The culture of a person is my concern. Because that's what's Bible. Moses married a black woman. I mean, you can take Bible and prove that. But evidently she had the same beliefs. And even God upheld it. He doesn't uphold this. He doesn't uphold us marrying people that don't believe the truth. And once you're married, I could go also again to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and they be well to dwell with you. God didn't encourage divorce there. But you certainly made it a lot harder on yourself. And let me tell you who's going to be confused, the kids. Well, mama believes this and daddy believes this. I don't know what to believe. It helps the children to grow when you have the same belief system. The same values. And when mama's serving one God and daddy's serving another, that causes all kinds of problems. Or when daddy tells you it's wrong to drink and mama says it's fine, or vice versa. Or one's telling you it's all right to commit fornication, another one's telling you it's not okay. That causes all kinds of confusion. Life is hard enough as it is. We don't need to be adding burdens to our children. And God said, you don't need to be leading them in this fashion, or they're going to forsake me. They're going to go after false gods. They're going to go in the wrong direction. Keeping that in mind, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Again, this gets to the company we keep, doesn't it? There's a whole lot of parents that think it's good for their children to hang around ungodly children all the day long. We're kind of surprised that a pile of children have left the church over the years when we sent them to secular schools for such a long time. We saw the schools teaching ungodly things, and we said, oh, it won't hurt our children. What harm could 7 hours a day, 5 days a week do? I guarantee you that's a whole lot more time than people are studying their Bibles and praying every week. And I know there's some good teachers in public education. I know there still are. I know there's probably some good schools even out there. But we know this. Where do kids get the idea that God isn't real? And get it at church. But there was a whole lot of people telling them that in some schools. You, preacher, you want us to have no education for our children? That's not what I said. And I'm not even saying our children can't overcome that, but you're going to have to put a whole lot of work to overcome it. You know what they usually teach schools in kindergarten and first grade? The earth is billions of years old. That's the first thing. One of the first lessons that will be taught to your children, and that's not an accident, that's by design. We are going to contradict their religious beliefs on day one. You know where a lot of children learned about the birds and the bees? They learned it through some educational class at school that had no morality to it, that had no scriptural upbringing with it. This is how you do things. And we'll leave it at that. And there was a pile of parents fine with their children being taught that by somebody that was not going to teach it from a godly perspective of what's right and what's wrong. And they were also going to be taught where they can get protection, where they can get pills, where they can do all kinds of things. Even now we're to the point that there are states hiding the fact that their children have had abortions, hiding that from their parents, are even instructing that they push homosexuality or even transgenderism. And it's being done even in elementary school. They can't have your child's attention for that many days out of the week, that many hours in the day, that many days out of the year, and not have an impact. They can't. And there is a religion that's being taught there. You can go all the way back to the 1930s, almost 100 years ago, and our Supreme Court even said that humanism was being taught in the public school system. That is a religion. It's a religion of worshiping the creature more than the Creator. And it's been going on for a long, long time. And there's people still to this day that I'll have a hard time convincing them that it has had an impact upon them or their children. I can tell you right now, it's had an impact on me. So when we talk about not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and that's not us. Look, I don't teach. Y'all know I do not teach us to be like those that would go out, the Mennonites and things like this, and we're going to create our own Amish community, and we're going to have no conversation or no relationship with people outside or things of this thing. I haven't taught that. I don't believe that. I believe we're in the world, but we are not of the world. We are careful. And I believe this too. I've even taught it here. I believe in inviting your neighbors over and showing ourselves friendly. I've taught that too. But when they want you to take part in some things that are not godly, you don't take part in it. You show boundaries. If they say, come on over, we're going to have some drinks. No, we're not. We're going to go watch this ungodly movie. No, I'm not. I need you to read this book that I've been reading. We find out it's something ungodly and leading to something. No, that's not what I want to be a part of. God didn't teach us not to be a part of this world. And what I'm saying with that, God didn't tell us to go off into a corner somewhere and just wait for His return. We're to go to the world. We're even to be kind to the world. We're to carry the gospel to the world. But we are to be different in how we live our lives and what we're going to fellowship with. Even Jesus ate with sinners. But again, He never upheld their sin. And He never partook in their sin. We need to know that line of separation. Back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. I know I could probably quote it, but I want to make sure I get every word correct. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Now Aeneas, now we're hitting a little bit closer to home too. In this is within the church, isn't it? There was some false doctrine that had come into the church. And because people had accepted some of this false doctrine, it corrupted them from living for God as they should. What we learn in church and the doctrines we stand for, you know, sometimes I've had people tell me over the years, well, Brother Brandon, you're a stickler for doctrine. You really like to focus on doctrine. Doctrine's a big thing to you. If it's not, what are we doing here? If we don't care what God says, how are we serving Him? Because the only way I know to serve God is according to His Word. If we don't care about doctrine and what's right and wrong and what's good and evil and what we should do and should not do as God's people, we're in a bad fix. And even over in Romans, you got over there in chapter 16 and verse 17, notice what it says here. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. And he's talking to a church and the people within the church. Mark them, which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. There are a lot of God's people near about fellowshipping with anything in the world that calls itself Christianity. And we should not. I won't even fellowship with things that call itself Baptist if it doesn't hold the Baptist doctrine. And when I say Baptist doctrine, I mean Bible doctrine. I don't want to be around things that'll move me away from God. Somebody says, oh, you need to accept some of this new modern music and all this other stuff. And look, I believe there can be new songs that are written that are honorable to God. I believe that. I believe there are songs like that being written this day. But if I hear something that contradicts Scripture, that if I tried to preach that, I should be removed as a pastor, there's no way I want anybody singing that in a church house. There's no way I want that upheld. If I'm coming into church and it looks more like a rock concert than a respectful place of reverence and worship, I'm going to advise people run from that as quickly as you can. You walk into a church house and there's a woman standing in the pulpit trying to preach, run. Don't walk away. I'm going back to that in Proverbs. Run from it. Because it is ungodly. Well, she says a lot of good things. I don't care what she's saying. She's violating Scripture by standing in that place. She is rebelling against God, standing in that place, and rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. The truth needs to be upheld. And again, this comes to who we fellowship with, who we keep company with. I encourage a whole lot of company of God's people. Y'all hear me talk about the revival calendar, and our sister church is in revival, and when there's one close, I try to encourage us to go visit. I try to visit when I can. I believe in that. I try to get some of the young people to get with other young people from other sister churches, because I want godly people to be around other godly people. And in our day and time, that's few and far between, but our young people need godly friends. And I will again tell you to be careful, because just because they go to church don't mean they're godly. I think that's even described here in what we just read in Romans chapter 16. We need to be careful with the company we keep, because the company we keep is going to be a reflection of who we're going to be like. Now, in saying all that, I want to close with this. Do you keep company with the Lord? Do you allow the Lord to keep company with you? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Do we allow the Lord to keep company with us? I pray that you do. Because he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he'll have more of a good impact on you than anybody else that's out there. Because you can hang around all the good people you want to. If you don't have Christ, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're missing out on the best companionship that there is. I hope you have a good godly wife or husband. I hope that you have godly children. I hope that you have godly friends. I hope you hang around good people in this world that are a good influence on you, that point you in the right direction, that try to correct you when you do something wrong. I hope you have all that. But the best you can have is the Lord. You need to keep company with Him. And the way that you speak to Him is through prayer. And the way that He speaks to us is through His Word. You need to keep company with Him. And I pray that you will. This is the burden that God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.